This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And it's the day after tax day, and I'm still recovering from the check I had to cut yesterday. Ugh, I feel ill.
What better way to think about how we prepare ourselves for, what is to come?
I hope the Learing Centers appreciate my donation.
Yeah. Well, the city of Portland needs it more than, even the Learing Centers do these days.
Oh, my God. It was hard, Hunter. It was really hard. Mm-hmm. Really hard. So.
Yeah. and that's the thing. I just sit here and I'm like, you go through this. And now with two adult children living under our roof, I also have to now kind of get their taxes, help them with their stuff and this and that. And, you get a little back here, you pay a big chunk over here, it was an interesting day, we'll put it that
way.
So
you waited until the last minute?
Yeah.
Why would you? I was like, five to midnight, all right, fine.
Yeah, it's one of those things, it's like, they don't rush to get you your money, so.
Didn't it feel a little, I felt literally kind of sick this year, now that you know about all the fraud and all the crap, and it's like, somebody was out there, so are we all still paying our taxes? And it's like, yeah.
Yep.
We are.
We kind of forced. Well, what always gets to me is, if you overpay your taxes, they don't send you a check quickly with interest. They just kind of pocket that little bonus and take their time getting to you. But if you don't have your check to them on April 15th, even if you filed an extension, then they're going to come down on you like a bag of bricks.
Yeah. So anyway, that's past us now. We're past that. I wanted to talk real quick. There is the Oregon GOP gubernatorial debate tonight, which I will be watching. I have signed up to receive my link so I can see it because I can't be there in person. It's in Hillsboro. We've got Danielle Bethel, Ed Deal, Christine Drazen, and Chris Dudley will be there. Mm-hmm. I am very curious to see. I don't believe all four of them have been on the same stage for a debate yet, so I'm very curious to watch this. I will be watching. I definitely want to see how the candidates are with each other. Again, like I've mentioned, Marion County GOP candidate Danielle Bethel. I think they'll all do well. I don't know about how Dudley's going to do on policy specific. Mm-hmm. Danielle, mop the floor on that. No doubt about it. Ed Deal as well. Drazen probably. Dudley's a little different animal. He's more of a celebrity candidate. He doesn't have government experience. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see. He did come down. I think all four of them have come out with very strong statements on Second Amendment, which is good. They need to be on the record for that. You've got the no tax thing because that's going to be on. We talked to Nick Hill yesterday from Marion Polk First. That no tax thing is on your May ballot, the silver lining for me is that's going to bring a lot of attention to the down ballot races. So make sure you vote on everything that's on your ballot front and back.
Yeah. And that's the thing is this is the first time all four of these candidates will be on the same stage. And I'm excited for it. I'm going to, get signed up. I'm going to watch this thing because I think it's real important to see the difference between the four. Because realistically, you can make an argument for any one of these four to be our candidate come November.
Oh, yeah. No worries at all on that.
And I'm excited because 4 years ago, we literally watched a few different debates where you'd have two or three of the top candidates and two or three of the no shot in the world candidates.
Right.
Or as we know, 17 candidates wide where you get some of the top ones, but it's so bogged down with the extra noise, you really don't get to know who you're looking at.
Yeah. So it's going to be hosted by former TV meteorologist Bruce Sussman and then Angela Todd, who is a Portland-based influencer. This is an article over at Oregon Capital Chronicle that's dealing with it. There's been some controversy about Drazen skipping out and then Dudley skipping out on some other ones. And so here they are all going to be here. There was a cutoff and all the other candidates did not make the cutoff. The cutoff was pretty clear. It's a fundraising cutoff. They had to have been able to raise at least $100,000 in reported contributions and have at least $250. You got to be able to, are you in the game?
Yeah.
And there has to be a cutoff on that. And so that is good. No missing from this debate will be David Medina. He did not make the cutoff. So you've got your top four candidates.
Yeah. Well, and I look at it this way, as sad as it is, as much as you want to sit here and say, we want the best candidate, no matter how much money they're able to raise, money plays such a huge role in politics now that you have to put the financial cutoff in there.
You do. And the rest of it is name recognition. You've got to have the name recognition. And of course, Dudley and Drazen both kind of, they have that. Christine, because she ran in 2022, and Chris Dudley, because he ran and came so close against Kitzhaber in 2010. And of course, a former trailblazer. Danielle Bethel, I think, has had a little bit of a harder time. She's very well known in Marion County, Mid-Willamette Valley. She's known among county government. She was president of the Oregon Association of Counties. She was a school board director. She's got that. I think it's been a little harder for the statewide. Again, Oregon is so huge. Representative Deal has made a name for himself by kind of pulling off that amazing miracle, but I mean, my gosh, you know, yeah. Rallying the troops all over the state to get that thing on the ballot for the no tax thing. So I think all of these are good candidates. I think any one of them, obviously any one of them, will be head and shoulders of what the thing that's sitting in the governor's mansion right now.
Yeah. And we get to look at this, and this, I believe this is the first time we've ever had two former actual candidates for yeah. governor running, you know, in a primary against one another in Dudley and Drazen. So there is a lot of storylines within this, and a lot of things that we are going to find out today and kind of get a real good look at who the likely front runner will be for the Republican Party come November.
Yeah. And again, you know, the person to beat after that is Tina Kotek. And so you've got to, really voting strategically. I think this has got to be one where you're voting with your brain. You're not voting with your emotions. You got to vote with your brain. So that's why I hope there's a high turnout for this. Again, it's going to be streaming. I don't know. I would assume on YouTube, but I don't know. There's a link being sent that you need to go sign up for that. I will post the article that we're referencing here on our show notes, and it does have a link to go do that. So you'll definitely want to do that.
Yeah.
Even if you have to watch it on your laptop,
To me, that's the only downside. This should be something that is carried in a way that isn't send in and get me a link and let me watch it that way. I want to see something like this in a widespread public platform.
Yeah, I agree.
Where and I don't know how much they press the news stations to possibly cover this or anything, but we'll see.
Well, if you've got Sussman on there, I mean, he's a local media figure, former meteorologist. I know who Bruce Sussman is. I don't know. And all, you know, basically it's set to begin at 7:00. It's a 90-minute debate. There's going to be a press event. Candidates have invited to a spin room where they can take questions and address the press. Danielle Bethel immediately confirmed through a spokesperson on Tuesday that she would be participating in the press event, and Deal also confirmed his attendance. So notably not in that sentence is Drazen and Dudley. So I would assume they're not going to be there. I think this is with all four of them there, this to me is this is one you want to watch.
Yeah.
You want to watch this one.
Yeah. Out of all the forums and debates and everything else that we are going to see, I think this is going to come down to the most important one, simply because you have all four of the top candidates there, where a lot of these other ones, it's only a couple of them or... You know, and hopefully maybe this even sparks the initiative to get a second debate with all four of them together before the primary date.
Yeah. And the other side of this is an Oregon Republican Party debate. So it is, you know, it's a friendly room.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also they're talking to the people that will be voting for them.
Yep.
So that's the kind of the thrust on all of this. So, yeah, I'll be watching it. We'll talk about it next week, because obviously today's our Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a break, and then we kind of wanted to focus on kind of a little bit of preparedness. There's all kinds of stuff going on in the world. We all kind of feel it. Everything feels very chaotic, and you're kind of like, you could wake up. I know I wake up every morning and I'm like, I log in and I'm like, what fresh hell are we going to have today? So we've got some good information and wanted to kind of run down some stuff, likely scenarios, what you can do. Don't panic. Being, you know, prepared for these things is actually quite calming. Mm-hmm. Makes you feel really good. So we're going to dive into that for the show today. So you are listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Color Tile of Salem.
All right. So a lot of people, when they hear, you know, they hear preparedness or they hear preppers and all that kind of stuff, it's like, well, they're just weirdos. Are they living in a bunker somewhere in the middle of nowhere? No, it's your neighbors. It's your family. It's your friends. I mean, we, back in the day, we, a good friend of ours, I mean, there's a, I think it's carried on our air still, Prepping 2.0.
Yep.
Yep. And that's a great show. That's Shelby Gallagher and, oh no, I'm spacing. Anyway, Shelby, she's written some great books. The Great State series is wonderful. And Glenn. So, you know, it could be anything from a job loss. It could be, you know, we've had a really, weird winter with not a lot of snow. So the mountains don't have the snowpack. And so you're looking at potential drought conditions. And of course, Oregon, you know, let's fight the fires when they're conflagrations. And, you know, we really can't. We don't want to put them out when they're just little.
No.
Looking at you, Labor Day fires 2021. So there's all kinds of things. It's not just like the end of the world as we know it and all the acronyms and the STHF and all that kind of stuff, which I can't say that acronym on the air and spell it out. But it's just, and it's not a panicking thing. It's just knowing that you've got some things in place for your family should something unexpected happen. Now, the headline that kind of spurred this, looking at its unemployment numbers, Oregon unemployment, it holds at 5.2 as job losses mount and at rates among the highest in the nation. Oregon's got issues. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. We talk about them a lot. It's the, you know, taxing issues. It's got crime issues. It's got homelessness issues. And it's got, you know, sort of economic issues. There's a lot of taxes. There's a lot of, it's difficult. It's a challenge to live in Oregon. It's a challenge certainly to be a conservative in Oregon, no doubt about it. So despite stable unemployment, the state experienced a notable decline in employment. And again, mm-hmm. this is from our friends over at rightnoworegon.com. I will link to the article in show notes. Seasonally adjusted non-farm payrolls dropped by 5,400 jobs in February. And that reversed a gain of 1,600 jobs. If you're one of those people, you should have a backup plan to deal with. Do you have 3 months in the bank in an emergency fund to offset that income? Do you have some food stored so that you're not panic buying or you're not going hungry? If you have a large amount of kids, do you have enough water for everybody? So we've got some good information to kind of break down today to look at that.
Yeah. And that's the thing is when you hear the word prepper, you're thinking end of the world, catastrophic event. You know, do you have your guns racked up? Do you have your, you know, your tent and your, you know, rainwater converting, you know,
your zombie repellent because it's going to be zombies.
But but we're all told that, you know, you need to be saving that nest egg. You need a savings in case, just in case. The more likely thing that's going to happen for any and all of us is going to be things like an out of control wildfire, water shortages, long-term power outage, because, you know, we know that can happen. It happened back in 2020 with the big ice storm where, parts of Salem were out for nearly a week. Trees coming down.
We were running generators. Yeah.
Trees coming down that could, you know, knock out power, but also, hinder your access to get to places. So those are those things that you don't think about when you say the word prepping, but we need to all be thinking about.
Well, here's six things that are most likely Oregon families will prepare for these. This is not SHTF. This is not the end of the world as we know it. This is not, you know, the collapse of all things. The world has literally ended. It's not nuclear war. It's not any of that. Number one on the list, and we all know this, Cascadia subduction zone. We are in it. The Ring of Fire, baby. Major earthquake. So you look at that. Look at the infrastructure around you. The bridges you see around you, pancaked.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to get anywhere. So you have the obviously widespread infrastructure damage, long-term power outage. And then if you're on the coast, you got tsunami risks.
Yep.
There's been a lot of prepping on the coast to do that. Anytime you go visit the coast, you'll see tsunami zones. I always make a note of them. It's like, okay, I got to hoof it up the hill if this goes. So that is definitely, they are prepared for that.
Well, and that is as close to the end of the world as we can really prepare for here in Oregon.
One.
Because, well, we talked about the map yesterday. Portland is going to be a pile of rubble based on the amount of buildings that are not equipped to handle a major earthquake.
Exactly. And Salem has a lot of the same thing. Second on the list that we've talked about, and I think we've all had experience with this, maybe not immediate personally, but we have people who were affected, family members, wildfires increasing in frequency and intensity. Fast moving evacuation situations. How many times it's like you're level one, go, you're level two, you're level this. You get all the stuff. Indoor poor air quality. Can you even go outside?
Mm-hmm.
Because the air is not breathable. I remember the blood red skies. It was the eeriest, creepy. I still have videos from all of that. That it was scary.
Well,
and then, of course, possible power shutoffs.
Yeah. And I sit here and I remember during the fires of 2021 having conversations, and because we're kind of out northeast Salem area where there's not a lot of residential to our east. So kind of looking out there and saying, you know, we've got this farmland, then the hillside, this and that. What if it were to come up over the hillside? What mm-hmm, would we do? Mm-hmm. You know, and having those discussions with family members about, you know, what would it look like if this occurred? Because those fires were so stinking out of control.
They were. I remember we had go bags ready to go. And we weren't even close. We were in Salem, South Salem. So go ahead.
Well, and then, of course, the ironic part to me was, you know, you talk about the air quality.
Yeah.
Remember, your mask is not going to work because those fire particles are just too darn strong.
But you were safe from COVID.
That's right. You were safe from a microscopic virus.
Yeah, sure. The third one, of course, is winter storms and power outages, ice and snow causing the outages, roads become impassable, and then you've got frozen pipes and loss of heat. Do you have a way to keep warm in your house?
Mm-hmm.
Just something as simple as that.
Yeah, whether it's a battery-powered little space heater or gas.
Heater buddy, propane heater buddy.
Fireplace, things like that. And, of course, you know, a lot of these come with an inherent risk when you're talking burning propane. If you're doing it within a sealed house, that creates toxic air.
That's why you get a heater buddy.
That's right. You can't, you know, you got to really think those things through because, unfortunately, those deaths occur from, the CO2 inhalation.
Exactly right. Because a lot of people will use, or they'll bring their grill inside and they'll cook. I mean, I've heard some horror stories. Number four, of course, like with unemployment numbers is economic disruption. You've got job loss, inflation, unexpected expenses. Financial strain is one of the most common emergencies. And, you know, Dave Ramsey talks about that. Have your emergency fund, have a backup plan, have some food. And it's not just, and we'll dig into the details of some popular misconceptions and myths, but that's a big one. And that one is really pretty easy to prep for. You go to the grocery store, if something's on sale, buy two of it, put one away. Mm-hmm. Toilet paper. Remember the whole rush for toilet paper during 2020?
Well, and this is the one that probably most Oregonians are most likely to deal with on this list. So.
Yeah. This one too, number five, localized civil unrest. Primary impacts urban areas, looking at you, Portland, which can then cause road closures, disruptions, and property damage potentially. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, what comes with that, if you've got an increased crime, you've got an increased homeless population, there's crime associated with that, with drug use and things like that, that can affect you. Civil unrest, you got these yahoos out there blocking the freeway and you can't get somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, of course, with all of that stuff. You know, any of these cause desperation where now there's more people out causing the civil unrest, because they're looking out for number one, they might not be prepared. And all of a sudden, you know, crime skyrockets in that way. So
plus, I'm noticing in some other areas where you've got a lot of pushback. Have you watched just a side note, Ireland has had it. We're like, we're done. And so then you start, that ramps up. And of course, we're coming up on summer when it's riot season. Oh, it's that lovely time of year.
Well, which then, of course, takes us into election season, which who knows what's going to occur in that point in time.
And then the number six is flooding and landslides. And depending on where you live, I mean, heavy rain, hey, Oregon, Washington, heavy rain, that's the way of life. Common in heavy rain in mountainous areas and can isolate communities and damage homes. I remember the flood of 96. Mm-hmm. And we were sandbagging. We lived up on a hill in South Salem. We didn't have to worry about it. My folks lived in McNary Estates. And for whatever reason, whoever designed McNary Estates, they were up on a little island. Mm-hmm. So they were okay, but it was all around them. They could not drive in or out, and it was very real. And we do face that in the Willamette Valley.
Yeah, and I actually had this discussion last night because it was raining pretty heavy in the evening yesterday, and you know, you're seeing kind of water flowing in your neighborhoods on a roundabout. There's a couple of little rivers virtually flowing out to the drain. And my young daughter, she asked, what do we do with flooding and this? And I said, well, realistically, it's not going to really affect our house. But, you know, it's the simple things like making sure these drains are working helps us out. And, you know, there's parts of town that flooding is a real danger, especially as you get closer to the rivers.
Yeah. We've got a seasonal creek on our property and it's just rip roaring. It's doing good. But then on the other side of it, the driveway, there's a little mini river being carved in there and that can produce instability and things like that. So those are just six of the most likely for the Pacific Northwest. Obviously the big one is the major Cascadia is in a it's in a class by itself. Mm-hmm. When that thing lets rip, that's going to be long rolling. It's not like the jerky shaking of San Francisco or California. This is long rolling, sustained, longer, terrifying infrastructure. And of course, we talked about that map yesterday in Portland, which is already, you know, spelling a crisis for the city of Portland. You had a major Cascadia subduction event on that. And holy cow, Katie bar the door. I mean, that's a big one.
And unfortunately, that earthquake's going to lead to just about every other event on this list, because we know that there's going to be civil unrest if this mm-hmm. were to occur. Tsunami Fire. Warnings is bringing water. How far? Fires will definitely occur as electric, you know, poles come down and everything Power. Else. You know, the only thing is, it's probably not a winter storm unless it happens at that time of the year, which... Boy, talk about doubling down on Oregon.
Oh, I know. And then, of course, power outages and all the things that come with it. So, again, you know, prepping, it's gotten a bad rap. Maybe there's another. Just preparedness, self-sufficiency. There you go. Yeah. There's a term.
That might be the
Being self-sufficient, it's your responsibility, I think, as your own family, to be self-sufficient and to be responsible for your family. Once you've got that locked down, it's like being on an airplane and putting your own mask on first. Then you can help other people. Mm-hmm. You get yourself locked down, and then you can help other people, because we want to be the helpers.
Well, and we talk about it a lot. You need to be your own first responder, especially if any of these major catastrophic events occur. If you're not able to take care of yourself, you're just adding to the chaos. So, you know, think about it, but we need to start thinking more.
We're going to come back and talk about some blind spots and some things you can do to get prepared. So come on back after the news.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty, welcome back, everybody. What is this, Self-Sufficiency Thursday?
I think that's the way we just need to start framing it. Self-sufficiency.
Yeah, it's empowering.
It's missing so much in today's society. Everybody wants everything taken care of for them, right?
Right. Well, we want the government to run our grocery stores.
Well, who doesn't? Come on.
We want the government to provide childcare. We want the government to provide health care. The government should house me, feed me, clothe me. No. Okay, so first, right out of the bat, because we've got some really good information to share. Preparedness, it's not about fear. In fact, it's the opposite of that. It's about the quiet peace of mind that comes from knowing your family can weather a two-week blackout or a six-month economic squeeze without panicking. Again, you cannot plan for everything. You try to do that, you will lose your mind, because you just can't. Well, what if this? What if this? You prepare, and that's why we read and we went down the six most likely things that are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You can prepare for those.
Yep.
Cascadia, you can do what you can. The rest of them, you can have a generator. You could, extra money. If you need, bartering is a thing. You know, if we get to bartering, it's pretty serious. Skills development. I mean, can you make things? Can you fix things?
Well,
you're going to be more important than someone who knows how to code.
Well, and that's the thing is you can't live life in fear. I mean, we saw it, real life implications of living life in fear during COVID.
Yeah.
People were so afraid of even going outside. You know, you do panic buying, you do, shut down and not be willing to go out and enjoy the things of life if your focus is solely on the fear. And it allowed the government to put these restrictions on us and hold us down and say, you can't have your friends over, or your family over for Thanksgiving because of fear. If the fear wasn't a part of the COVID thing, it wouldn't have been what it turned out to be.
And that was courtesy of your government, Kate Brown, and the mm-hmm. government, and OHA, and all of that stuff, because we all remember that. And that was being pumped into the collective bloodstream of Oregonians for all of that. A lot of people saw through it and pushed back and rejected it. That was a hard place to stand for a couple of years in Oregon, but many, many people did it, ourselves included. Okay, first of all, I want to hat tip a lot of this information that for a YouTube channel that I follow, Zach of All Trades. This was all spurred on by an email I got, because I follow that, and he laid out some things. There's another channel that I follow. It's called City Prepping. Those are just two good ones. Again, I said we air Prepping 2.0 on our air, Shelby Gallagher and Glenn, and I'm blanking on it, but it's there. Sorry. Sorry about that, Glenn. Really good information that comes up. They dig deep into that if you want to dig more. But Zach of All Trades put out a list. There's blind spots. He said, with all the uncertainty and the chaos in the world, there are three massive blind spots in your preps, and you needed to audit these. So you could be someone who is already doing this. There are a lot of myths out there, and there's sort of conventional wisdom that isn't necessarily correct. So the first one, and this is the big one, because you got to have it to live, the 1 gallon water fantasy. Everyone repeats the 1 gallon per person per day rule. That's a myth. That covers bare minimum drinking and hygiene. It does not cover cooking, cleaning, wounds, sanitation. If you're planning for a family of four over a 2-week grid failure, you need 56 to 112 gallons of stored water. If you only have a few cases of Dasani in the garage, you're going to fail by day three. Mm-hmm. So that's a big wake up call. And that one is, you know, well, you just need it for drinking. And when you think about it, well, you got to wash your dishes, there's sanitation, you got to flush your toilets or whatever. If you do have to be able to clean things, you really want to clean clothes and dishes. So you're going to need water. So you got to figure out a way to store it.
Well, and that leaves out some of the other things. Cooking. How many things do we cook, especially things that can be stored for long periods of time that require water?
Food. Needs to be rehydrated.
Mm-hmm. Or rice or pastas or any of those things. It's like, you know, I guess you could sit there and eat your hard top ramen and crack it down. My kids do it on occasion, but I'm sitting there going, yeah, that doesn't sound like a good deal.
No. And there are a lot of ways to store. One of the tricks is if you're a canner and you've got canning jars, if they're sitting there empty, fill them with water.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect way to do that. There's those blue cubes. We use a lot of the blue cubes. You can buy totes and storage cisterns. There's all kinds of ways to do it. A lot of people, well, I'm in a small space. I don't have a lot. Well, if you're in a small space, there's probably only one or two of you. So then you're looking at, you know, you're looking at a lot less over, you know, Hunter, you've got a lot more people there. You've got a bigger need, and you've got mm-hmm. a contingency plan for a bigger consumption.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm kind of going, you know, when you're talking hygiene, my family's not going to take the typical showers they get with running water. I'll tell you that. It's going to be those, you know, sponge baths kind of a mentality.
Here's DQ's tip for that. Baby wipes, have a stash of baby wipes, and you do what I call the tops and tails shower.
Oh, yeah.
It'll at least make you feel human, because hygiene is really important. If you go for a few days, you're like, blech, and it messes with your mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the benefit. I got plenty of baby wipes around my house.
Exactly. All right. Okay. The next one is food. So this is psychological calories. Everybody's like, well, I got a big box of beans and a bag of rice, and I got some Kraft macaroni and cheese. Mm-mm. So psychological calories. Rice and beans will keep you alive. They will. Mm-hmm. But they will break you mentally. Disaster psychology shows that people who have access to familiar comfort foods, we're talking coffee, hot sauce, chocolate, have significantly better outcomes during a crisis. Morale matters. A massive bucket of rice is useless if your family refuses to eat it by day four because of extreme food fatigue. You talked about this. We talked about this off air. I've had it too, where for mine, it was like too much lobster, which sounds weird, but it's not if you were living in a coastal area. You get sick of it after a while.
Yeah. And anybody that's worked in fast food in particular, or the pizza industry or this and that, you know, if you're working a lot, you're eating it a lot, because that's kind of the convenience of, I'm able to, you know, I'm at work, I'm going to go ahead and have what's being served because for my lunch break. You get to a point, and it happened to me when I worked in the food industry, where you not only stop eating that food because you're so accustomed to eating it, you stop eating almost altogether. And that's where that this paragraph really hit home for me, because I'm going, I experienced it, and I was in my, you know, early 20s at an age where, you know, going a few meals wasn't the end of the world, but...
And not in a stressful crisis situation. Mm-hmm. I had the same thing happen. I picked strawberries as a kid. It took me years to be able to eat strawberries again. I hated them after that because I ate it all the time. Yeah, and that's the thing. And most people don't think about that. Chocolate, spices.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to season it? Really think about eating, even if you eat one or twice, and it's just a bowl. Plus, again, with the water, you've got to have, you know how much water it takes to cook beans? So these all kind of go together. And so you want something familiar. You want something that, especially if you have kids, that it's going to be a stressful situation. Everyone's going to be stressed. A little bit of chocolate goes a long way. You know, a little bit of some your favorite garlic seasoning or spices to make that taste a little better. A little bit of freeze-dried cheese to put on things. So segue into that again. This is hat tip Zach of all trades on this. Real quick, the most overlooked foods for your preps that most people don't buy. This one was my aha moment. Bouillon cubes. Mm-hmm. Cook your rice in bouillon. There's a punch of flavor. There's some protein in there. There's some sodium in there. It makes it taste better. You want things to taste good. The next one is nutritional yeast. I put nutritional yeast on my eggs. It's kind of like vegetarian cheese. It's actually really good, but you've got a lot of nutritional value in that. Coconut milk. These are all shelf stable again, too, for fat. Potato flour is another good one. Ghee, butter's going to go bad. Ghee is clarified butter. That doesn't go bad. That's another great one to have. And again, that adds that umami and that way to cook things. This one's interesting. Dried seaweed. Most people think sushi, but you can crumble it up and you can cook it in with your rice. It's got iodine. I take chia seeds every day. I mix it in my whey protein shake. Delicious, crunchy shakes. I let them fill up with water, though. But chia seeds packs a lot of nutritional value and it fills bellies. The other one, like you talked about, instant noodle blocks. Ramen, you can do a lot with ramen. Then you've got TVP, which is textured vegetable protein. I've had that before. You rehydrate it, and it's kind of like meat, kind of has that, but it's protein. Powdered milk, repackaged into Mylar bags. Again, that's another thing. It's adding calories. It's adding nutrition. And then lastly, hard winter wheat berries. If you get yourself a grain mill, you're actually looking at making your own flour, and you're able to bake and do things like that. So just that list that I read off there, most people don't think to buy that. They're buying cans of chili or whatever. This is a great list. And just as a reminder, before we take our first break, I will link all of this in show notes. All of this will be available today because it's just that good. That it's good information. You want to be as comfortable as you can and try to be as normal as you can in an emergency situation.
Yeah. And when when you might not be able to get out of your neighborhood, the power is out, it's cold, you know, the last thing you want to do is sit there and eat the same bland foods over and over again to the point where you're going, I don't want to eat. I can't get warm. You think about it. Eating actually helps you produce body heat. So you need to be able to eat and sustain. And I'm just going, you know, we're so accustomed to being able to just open the refrigerator or open a pantry and grab whatever it is we need and not worry about the flavor because, gosh darn, it's already packaged all in there and everything else. It's like something catastrophic were to happen and who knows how long you're going to be kind of getting those shelves barren and getting down to the point where all that's left is bland foods if you haven't prepared for it.
Exactly. And think about what your family likes and put some of that in your stock. If you've got a chocoholic, if you've got kids who macaroni and cheese is their favorite thing, great. You got your milk powder, you've got your ghee, you've got ways to put that all together. You have to be a little bit creative with it, but there are ways to do it. And you want to put a little wine aside for mom, okay?
Well, and you know, however long you got to keep those bottles of wine, you know, they age wonderfully at times.
But that's what I say. You have to think about that. Don't think you're one and done because you got a bucket of beans and you got a bucket of rice. No, those are great to have. You definitely want those. But think about all the other things. All right, let's take our last break, and then we're going to get into the uncomfortable prep. So you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
You know, a good New York deli sandwich will make you feel much better, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're lucky enough to have one when disaster strikes, you know.
Right. Consider yourself blessed.
And those cozy sandwiches, they might last a day or two, especially if you can keep them refrigerated. So
if you're rationing them down. All right. This is our self-sufficiency Thursday. We've been talking about three massive blind spots and, you know, kind of being prepared with all the uncertainty and the chaos in the world. It really is a good idea to start thinking about it. It's never too late to start. The best time to start prepping is today.
Yeah.
So we talked about the 1 gallon water fantasy. We've talked about psychological calories and why beans and rice are just not going to cut it. And, you know, why Dasani under your bed, not going to cut it. This next one is what, you know, what Zach of all trades is calling the uncomfortable prep. He says you can have the best bug out bag on the planet, but it is completely worthless if you cannot physically carry a 45-pound pack for 2 miles without your knees giving out. Your body is the most important piece of survival gear, period. Now, I had a that is so true. First of all, conventional wisdom, in most circumstances, it's probably better to bug in. In fact, the list that we went down, you're going to want to make sure your home is where you are. That's where all your stuff is. You're mm-hmm. comfortable there. You know where everything is. You know your neighbors. You're going to want to do that most of the time. But should you have to, if you have an evacuation, like in a fire, if you can't walk up your own stairs, you got to take that seriously.
Yeah, and I sit here and I go, you know, my big concern if something were to occur would be if I'm not home or other members of my family not being home. And like I said, you can't live life with that fear. Otherwise, no. We'd never leave the house. But I just sit here and go, if something were to occur today, my number one job is going to get back to my house, no matter right. what that takes. And yeah. then once I am there, get my family all there, hunkered down, and ride out the storm as long as that is feasible.
Yes. And so a lot of people will get kind of angry when you bring up physical fitness. Now, I'm not in the best shape and I'm older now, but I have started doing some minimal because I noticed my balance wasn't as great. And that's the one thing, you know, they always say, if you can't do this for 10 seconds, your life expectancy, blah, blah, blah. Well, I can do it for like a couple minutes, which mm-hmm. is standing on one foot, but that's taken some exercise. I want to recommend another website, especially if you're older, it's called Yes to Next. And it's a way to just, if you haven't been moving, if you have not been doing any exercising, if you're overweight, you're not great. These ladies, April and Aiko, they're wonderful. They're a mother and daughter team. They started this during COVID. It's slow. Do what you can and you start building up. So that's really what this one comes down to. Because I, you know, we have emergency bags in all of our rigs because like you said too, if you're away from home, you have to get home. That's the number one thing. And I know mine's pretty heavy. And if you're going to have to be schlepping that, you want to be in at least enough shape where you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, you know, that probably includes things like some protein bars or some yep. other stuff that can kind of give you that boost of energy as you're reaching your peak. Many years ago, I went on a hiking camping trip with some friends. And, you know, I thought I had everything I needed. Coming back was death to me because I obviously didn't drink enough water
while
I was out and about because water's heavy to carry. I didn't want to carry any more than I thought I need. I was cramping. My leg muscles were cramping so badly that I was having to sit and kind of pound on them to try and get them to loosen back up. And it's those little things you don't really think about, you know, when you're thinking about an emergency situation and how you would be able to handle it.
Yeah. One of the things we have are what's called life straws. And that way you don't necessarily have to carry all that water. They filter pretty well. They have a good life expectancy on them. I don't know if you want to be sticking it in a mud bog, but you know, if you're by a creek or a river, and again, these are all things you want to do your own research on. There's so many resources out there to do it. You're right. Water is heavy. I know in mine, I've got these like, they're not really hardtack, but they're super high protein bars. I actually had a leg cramp last night and I'm super hydrated. I drink water all day. And that's like somebody's just stabbing you in the back of your leg and they hurt. Mm-hmm. And then even if you're talking of getting from like the station to home, that's mostly flat. Mm-hmm. So if you add terrain, rough terrain, you add unfamiliar terrain, you don't know where you're going, you add, you know, other people trying to get to the same places. So all these things, don't let it freak you out. Just have a plan. Your family have a plan. If something happens, you all know, go home. Mm-hmm. Home is where we meet. And then you decide, in most cases, like I said, you're not going to be bugging out. You're going to be home and you may be home for a long time and you may have to tolerate each other for a long time. Do you have things that are not screens? Do you have things that are not electronic? Books, playing cards, things to do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily think about that.
Well, I mean, you know, we got the taste of it during the ice storm. The power mm-hmm. was out and you're finding those things to kind of keep you entertained during the daylight hours. You're kind of trying to sleep at night once it gets dark because there really is very little you can do. But we definitely had to go through all that, you know, and especially with the kids, they get a little mm-hmm. anxious and a little rambunctious mm-hmm. and sick and tired. I sit here and kind of, you know, it's having those games, those little projects, mm-hmm. even pens and paper, just to let people, you know, color out their thoughts.
Right, right. Board games. A lot of folks will say, you know, do a dry run for like just a 24-hour period. You'll learn a lot in that 24-hour period about, wow, okay. Because, I mean, we're also, you know, we'll throw on Netflix or we'll throw on Hulu or we'll throw an iPad in front of somebody. When you don't have that, you know, I'm a reader, but a lot of times I'm like, yeah, I'd rather watch a movie. Yeah, watch a movie. So, I mean, I do. I'm guilty of it, too. I think we all are. It's just easier.
Yeah. Well, and of course, you know, you take in what we're accustomed to in terms of entertainment today. And I'm sitting here going, is, you know, any of these doomsday kind of books something you'd want to read in that scenario? Probably not.
Oh, well, maybe now I recommend Shelby Gallagher's A Great State series. Those are excellent. What was it? 99 Days. I will find out the name of Glenn's last name and I will link those up to the books. And again, the YouTube channels, and there are a lot of them out there, and none of them are panicky, fear-mongering. There is no need to do any of that. But again, you want to have familiar surroundings. You want familiar food, you know, and especially if you're dealing with, you know, you're losing a paycheck and you're having to live off savings for a while, you're going to want to be frugal, but you don't want to be eating stuff you hate because your stress level is already going to be high. You want to ease out all those rough edges as much as you can.
Yeah, and you know, the list we went over, you know, some are potentially very short-term temporary. Others are, you know, if we were to have the big earthquake, how long till you're actually in a scenario where we can even see a semblance of normal life come back to it?
Right.
I'm sitting here going that map from yesterday, looking at how Portland is going to be virtually shaken to the ground. You know, you always hear, you know, that the tsunami is going to bring the water up to the I-5. And I'm sitting here kind of going, those are all worst case scenarios. Will they happen? We won't, you know, hopefully never find out. But at the same time, it's like being prepared and understanding what potentially could occur and being ready as much as you can to that level. Everything else becomes easier when it doesn't reach that level of disaster.
Right. And then you become in a position where you can help out, like with the air mask in the plane. That's why they say put yours on first. Get your house in order first. And then, you know, there's you can expand this out and get into all kinds of stuff on, you know, how to deal with what. So these are just sort of some basics. And I like that Zach of All Trades put those myths out there, because those are, you hear that all the time. Well, I got a case of water under my bed.
Yeah.
I got a box of stuff or freeze dried something that'll last me 3 weeks that I've never even opened and even tried. Open it up and taste it. I've done that. Have you ever had an MRE? I've had an MRE. I mean, you open it up and you taste it. If you've got freeze-dried food, eat it. Cycle it through your normal stuff so that it's not, you got this bag of something and you're like, what is this? And then everybody hates it. You want to know that before you're dealing with something that is going to stress your family out.
Yeah, it's going to take a few days before hunger before everyone's like, yeah, I'm ready to eat that stuff that tastes like cardboard.
The MREs are kind of cool. Granted, I wouldn't want to make that my full meal, but they have the little pouches that heat the food up. And so I think I've had like mac and cheese or lasagna, and there's a cookie. There's stuff in there. And you can buy those too if you want to do that. There are all kinds of places where you can just buy pre-packed stuff, shove it under your bed. That's part of your preps, though. Part of your self-sufficiency.
That's right.
The other one is mindset. Mm-hmm. And this will go a long way, knowing that you've got some things under control, that mindset. You don't have to panic. You don't have to go with everybody to get toilet paper and stand in a mob of people that are freaking out. You're home eating mac and cheese.
That's right.
And drinking a glass of wine.
Yeah. You got your baby wipes and your, you know,
right,
vintage
your queen.
Wines. And
you got a good book.
That's
you got
right.
A thing of chocolate.
Well, it sounds like a rather restful evening. I mean, maybe that's the way to look at it. Prepping for a restful evening.
Right.
Especially
right.
In today's news cycle.
Exactly. And again, I will have all of this on our show prep today. I will link up to all the channels we mentioned and all the information. Have a great weekend. We'll see y'all next week.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.